What's up, everybody? It's Sam with Rowdy Alternative, and today we are with Rob Langdon. How you doing, man?
Going on, man. I'm doing good. How are you?
Good, brother. You've been staying busy out there. Where are you at?
Dude, I'm in Wedgwood, Houston right now, just outside of downtown. But yeah, okay, I'm right staying on. As busy as I can.
Hell yeah. So, because I wanted to do some research on you before this, and I couldn't find out where you were from or where you like came from. So I guess let's cover that first just so we get some, you know, some background.
Yeah, so, I like to keep it mysterious, low key, you know.
All right. Well, let's solve that mystery, man. So I guess let's start out from when you started. Where are you from and what was the music scene like, where you were at and all that?
Yeah, well, where I'm from, Florida. I moved from a town called Wellington, Florida. I kind of lived in a lot of areas around there. Mm-hmm. But as far as music goes, I started in Boone, North Carolina. My dad's from Boone. My whole family's from Boone. I went to Appalachian State University, played baseball there.
So, oh, sweet.
Yeah, so, you know, there's Luke Combs coming through there, Eric Church. My whole life I was just real baseball focused, real sports focused specifically. I didn't pick baseball till later. But music was always just something that I did. But once I started realizing I wasn't going to be a big leaguer anymore, which is pretty early into my college career, I was like, damn, I want to do something cool. And I'd always loved music, and I had such a love for all kinds of music. And I started playing the bars around Boone, and yeah, just kept it going that way.
Awesome. So going back to the baseball thing, because I'm a pretty big baseball fan. So you said you started it late. Like, what? How late?
Music late or baseball late?
Did you say you started baseball later on in life? Or
no, music? I started, okay. Yeah, music late, yeah. I started baseball day one.
I was about to say, baseball's not something you just pick up and then go to college for. I was a little confused.
No. Baseball was, my whole life was just sports. My dad was sports.
Right.
I didn't really do much of anything else, really. And if I did, I didn't care about it much because I was just thinking about sports.
Right on. So what was it about music that really caught you and made you want to get into that so much?
Man, music. I've tried to think about it. I've had this conversation with some of my friends, and it's just like an inexplicable feeling that you have when you go to live shows, or every time I went to a concert or anything. It's just this feeling that I had. It's just like, damn, like I want to do that. The way that music was making me feel and making everybody around me feel, it was just a feeling that I had that, like, I wanted to create that. I wanted to do that. I wanted to be on stage and bring other people what I had been feeling.
Right. So when did you realize you had a knack for, like, songwriting, or you wanted to get into original stuff? Because, you know, a lot of people like to play, like, the covers and stuff. And I imagine that's a pretty big jump to want to start diving into originals.
Yeah, songwriting for me was tough, honestly. That was a hard road. Because at first, I learned guitar when I was probably in like middle school, elementary school. I had a couple of lessons. And then, like I said, baseball, sports just kind of took over. But I got the basics, I got the three chords and the truth. I had it locked in, ready to go. But, and it wasn't until I got to college that I just brought the guitar that I had, this little shit acoustic guitar that I had. And I just had some feeling. I was like, I just want to learn this. And I learned probably every Eric Church song that ever came out.
Yeah.
Every Randy Rogers song I'd ever heard. And then it was just, I was the party trick at the apartment,
Oh yeah.
Like, dude, Rob will play some fucking covers,
Yeah.
And
man.
Then, yeah, but songwriting, I would sit there and try to write songs. And every song I wrote, I was like, damn, that sucks. That song sucks. So for a while, I was like, I don't know if I can really even do this, And then one day I wrote this song. It's called Am I Crazy? And looking back now, it's really not very good. But that was the first song I wrote that I was like, this is actually kind of good. And yeah, from there, it just kind of kept snowballing.
Yeah. So were you always like kind of on your own, or did you like to co-write at all? Did you have any mentors that helped you out in the beginning?
I was always on my own. In Boone, There's a guy named Adam Church, if you've heard of him. Adam's my guy. He's been my North Star, you know. I remember he was if you go to App, you know Adam Church. He played at every single bar all the time. I don't know if you know about him and Luke Holmes, but they're we grew together when they were at App. And after I graduated from college, I wanted to play music, and I didn't really know how to do that, how to get in even to do covers. So I just started asking bars, and everyone was kind of just like, eh, whatever. Like, we're booked. So I went to this place called Woodlands Barbecue in Blowing Rock, North Carolina. And I was like, hey, can I play music? And they were like, no. So I was like, oh, damn. Well, also, I need a job because I don't have any way to make money. They were like, yeah, sure. So they got me a job. And every day I was just kind of sprinkling it to the managers. I was like, hey, I'd love to play some music. Love to play. And then it wasn't until Adam Church was there one day. And I was like, okay, here's my chance. I'm going to talk to Adam. And Adam, just being the nicest guy of all time, he was like, dude, come hang out at the truck. We'll play some tunes.
Yeah.
And they let me off early. Me and Adam hung out by his truck outside of Woodlands for like 2 hours. And then ever since then, man, Adam's just been my guy, songwriting, just helping me out with everything.
Right. So do you co-write a lot now or do anything like that? Or are you just still kind of more on your own?
Yeah, I mean, I co-write some. I have a guy, Davis Danziger, that I collaborate a lot with. But, you know, when you first move to town, you know, you really have no idea what's going on. You just kind of come.
Yeah.
And I came, and from what I heard, it was like, hey, you got to meet people. Let's start writing. And I was writing with people, and then I would really never see them again. And then every song I'd play at the writer's rounds was just kind of a song that I wrote on my own. So then I was like, well, maybe I'll just carry on my own for a while until I meet some people that I really collaborate well with.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of happened naturally.
Yeah. It feels like that's something you can't really force. Kind of have to like fall into it a bit.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, you hear about the speed dating and writing when you move to Nashville for the first time, and it's real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're getting thrown around. You're at Red Door. Fucked up.
I hear that's like the place you go is Red Door. That's like where you go to really meet people.
Yeah, exactly. That's when you really meet people.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I've been there a couple times with like Nick and Matt before, and it's not like any bar where I'm from, because I'm not from Nashville. So I go take a visit, and they're like, what the hell are they called? Are they like something shots? It's like something wacky.
Rip your blow shots.
Yeah. And I'm like, it's the best thing I think I've ever had.
Oh, but
it was like insane. It was insane. Fun just bar.
Pure sugar. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. The next morning didn't feel too good, especially when I had a 4 hour drive back home. But
absolutely. Where are you at?
I live right outside Cincinnati, so 4 hours north. Yep. But yeah, speaking of Nashville though, when you did move to town, this is like my favorite thing to ask artists, because to me, as someone who's not a musician, it seems like a huge decision and a hard decision to make. It seems like you kind of have to like just kind of go for it. Like, what was the process in your mind when you went for it?
Yeah, you do really just have to go like balls to the wall.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, well, I was in Florida. I wasn't planning on being there very long. Like I said, I was doing music in North Carolina, and I had some old baseball injuries that I had to get taken care of. So I went home, got some surgeries. Then I blinked, and it was 3 years later, and I was working a cabinet job installing cabinets.
Yeah.
And through COVID, I was doing that. And I'd started writing songs on my own in my room. And, you know, you want to get there, you know, you want to do it. It's just that making yourself do it. It's a scary, risky thing to do.
Yeah.
But you just have to really just fucking go for it. Go balls to the wall. Can I curse on here? Is that cool?
Fuck yeah. Yeah, you're good.
All right, my bad, dude.
No, you're fine.
but yeah, you just got to go for it. And, it wasn't until I was just like, you know, fuck it, I'm leaving. I'm going to Nashville. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my one friend that I knew here, he said, when you get out here, you're going to wish that you got here a lot quicker than you did. And he was dead right.
Yeah. Well, because I get that from Nick all the time. Like, when are you going to move out here to help us, like, do it, like, not remotely? It's like, I stop being a pussy, I guess. I don't know, like, honestly. But
yeah, that's what it comes down to. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what everyone says, too. They're like, you're just being a bitch. I'm like, yeah, I mean, honestly, I guess I am.
For real. But that's awesome, man. I'm glad you made the jump and you made the risk to go there. How would you, when I first listened to your stuff, what really stood out to me is that it's like a cool sounding style in the sense of like, it's like has a hint of the rock, like grungy kind of thing. That's popping like really big right now, especially because at first I was like, is he from Texas? Because a lot of this stuff sounds like the Texas kind of stuff that's going on right now. And then you have, of course, you have like the country influence in it too. How would you describe your style and the kind of music that you play?
Man, I mean, it's definitely all over the place for sure. Mm-hmm. I've kind of always just said it's hard for me to write a song in a specific genre. Mm-hmm. I always just feel like it comes out the way it comes out.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess I would say it's, I mean, a little bit too rock for country, maybe too country for rock.
Right. It's not a bad place to be though.
Kind of all over.
Yeah. Yeah. Is, so in Nashville then, around town, do you see a lot of that kind of stuff, or is it still mostly the songwriter country kind of stuff that it's always been, or what do you think?
Dude, you kind of got a little bit of everything these days. I think country music is in the coolest spot it's ever been in right now.
Yep.
And being in Nashville, you see all of it. You know, I feel like other genres of music, once they change for good. And country music, it never changes. It just branches off. So like you can still find that old classic, like Charlie Crockett's, if you want, or you can find the more rock guys there, or the Zach Tops, you know, like the 90s country, like it just branches off. So you can always find it. It really is cool. It's kind of hard when you're playing the writers rounds to see, cause everything's acoustic.
Yeah.
It was tough. Like when I was playing my songs, you know, at Raise Rowdy or Outside the Round or whatever, it was always like, I didn't have any music out. And I knew what I wanted it to sound like. So I didn't know if like it was coming across to the people listening, how I was hearing it in my head.
Yeah. With it just being acoustic.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So are you able to do a lot of full band shows out there? I know, aren't you, you're touring with, or you were opening for Old 60, weren't you?
Yeah, I'm touring. I'm on tour with them right now.
Tell me about that. How's that going?
Dude, it's fucking awesome. I mean, I had only had a few live shows ever in my life. Before going out with them. And those guys are just, I mean, they're the best guys on earth.
Yeah.
I mean, they're the nicest guys, the most open to, you know, help, and just, they just want to hang out too.
They're younger too. They're still pretty green to it, I'd imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. We're all learning as we go, you know, together, which is cool. They're opening up for Zach Bryan this weekend too in Atlanta.
You want to talk about a band who pops? Because like I think just a couple months ago they played like their first live like round at I think it was at a Rage Rowdy event.
Winners.
Yeah, at Winners, and now they're playing with Zach Bryan. Like that's crazy to me. I don't know.
Man, it's cool. It's cool because I saw them at that Rage Rowdy. That was actually the night I met them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I was there, and to see them go from that to them on stage now, I mean, they fucking kill it. I mean,
yeah,
I don't have enough good words to say about those guys.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Well, how would you describe your live show then?
My live show,
man,
it's I kind of like black out when I'm up there. it's the most fun a person can possibly have, I feel like, when I'm on stage. It's a lot of headbanging, definitely.
Good.
I mean,
love
I just got
shit.
Back from three shows this past weekend, and my neck is a little sore. Yeah. But yeah, I just try to keep the energy up as much as possible. I mean, it's, you know, you go in as an opener, people don't really know who you are. So you're right. Really just trying to make an impression, a lasting impression.
Right. And here's another question I like to ask. I can never phrase it right without it being confusing, but bear with me. Do you put, like, what amount of thought do you put into, like, planning out your show, like your live, what you're going to do on stage, stuff like that? Or like you just said, you usually just black out. So that might be your answer right there. But yeah. What kind of thought do you put into it?
When I first started doing like this tour, I was really like thinking, I was like, all right, what am I going to say? When am I going to say it? You know, like what songs is going to blend together? And then I quickly realized after the first show that I'm just not a guy who can plan.
Right.
You know, I'm just going to say whatever when I think it and when I feel like it's a good time to say it and how I'm going to say it. But the idea of planning it at first was a real good idea.
Yeah, but
luckily,
man.
I got a good group of guys, really, really talented. Some of the most talented musicians I've ever met that play with me. And, you know, we've really worked together to build a badass show, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, let's talk a bit about them, man. How'd you meet up with your band?
Yeah, so first guy I met was Nate, my guitar player. And his girlfriend went to App State. So I didn't know her at App, but I met her when I came to Nashville. She introduced me to Nate. Nate was always like, man, I'm a guitar player. Like, I'd love to play. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I don't have a band. I also don't have any songs out. But eventually, yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah.
So when I started doing live shows, he was my first call. And I was like, hey, dude, like, I also need the rest of my band. And he was like, dude, don't worry about it. I got you. So he introduced me to Joey, another guitar player, Ryan on bass, and Evan on the drums. And I mean, dude, I couldn't have lucked out anymore. They're just four of the most badass musicians.
Yeah, that's great. And you guys gel pretty quick, I assume. Gelled together, made some good shit.
Yeah, seemed almost. Oh shit. Seemed almost like pretty immediate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we had a couple rehearsals, and yeah, I mean, we all got along so good.
That's awesome, and it's good to hear that it translates well to the live show too. And so I guess you hit on it a bit, but like you said, you're touring with Old 60 and everything, which is fucking crazy. And so how's it going? I guess, is it everything you thought it'd be, or is it going smooth? I know sometimes that could be rough.
Oh, dude, yeah, it's smooth. Definitely. I mean, they make it super easy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got a little church van that we pile into, remove a couple seats.
Yep.
Throw everything in the back. You know, it's all part of it. It's all part of the mm-hmm. journey. You know, the shitty hotel, shitty food, whatever. It's, I mean, I'm enjoying every second of it.
That's awesome. And like, I feel like, I don't know if you've heard of Austin Mead, I've gotten to know him over the past few years and the guys in his band, and seeing them, cause you mentioned like the old church van and everything, seeing them go from that to Sprinter van. And now they finally have like a bus and everything. And it's good to see it. At least from my standpoint, watching them, it seems like it gets easier and easier. And it also seems that like it happens quick, kind of like, at least from what I think. And I don't know if artists even realize how much they're moving up the mountain until like someone will say something to them. And then they're like, oh shit, you know what? We're doing the damn thing. Like, have you had any of those? I know like you're kind of still, you're up and coming still, but have you ever had any of those like, oh shit moments along the way yet?
I mean, yeah, like the first show I played with Old 60, someone asked for my autograph. I was like, oh, fuck, for real? Yeah, sure. Yeah, like anytime someone asks to take a picture with you, you're kind of, which doesn't happen very often, but after the shows and everything, you know, that's a little bit of a realization there. And then even just things like this, you know, because mm-hmm. like you said, you don't really realize, you know, what's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And then, you know, y'all hit me up to do podcast. Like, yeah, I've never done a podcast before. That's sick.
Oh, hell yeah. There we go. It's your first one with my dumbass. But hell yeah, man. That's awesome. Let's talk a bit about your music though. Your latest single came out in July, Tattoos, right? Yeah. Just want to make sure I got all right, cool. And loved it. First off, I loved it. It sounds really, really cool sound. I can't wait for you to put more stuff out too, but we can get to that in a bit.
Yeah.
So I guess what does the song mean to you? Like I obviously, like the lyrics, like, you know, I realize what it's about in the lyrics, but like, is there a certain story behind it or a certain meaning to you in the song?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I mean, there's a very specific story. I'll spare you a lot of the details. Okay. But usually on stage, I just say it's about a girl that I don't know anymore.
Okay.
You know, that I wrote that one with my friend Davis, I was mentioning earlier. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I feel like with a lot of my songs, you know, I don't really talk about my feelings a lot or things that happen. Mm-hmm. So when I write songs, I feel like it just kind of comes out.
Yeah.
In this instance, I was pretty angry about a situation that wasn't even recent.
Right.
But just tapping into it and starting thinking about it again.
Give me a pencil and paper. I got to write this shit down.
Exactly. Exactly.
So it's songwriting to you, it's therapeutic then. Like, is it come out pretty easy, or do you ever have to sit there and like think about, man, I got to write a song today? How's that method work with you?
Man, sometimes it comes easy, sometimes it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Tattoos, we probably strung that one together, I mean, in half hour or an hour.
Okay.
That was an easy one. Sometimes it takes, you know, a couple of weeks. I'm more of a guy that if I'm sitting down and I'm writing, if it's not coming out, I'll set it aside and go do something else, because I don't want to force anything, you know?
Yeah, don't want to do that. Right on. So who and where do you record with? How do you get that all done?
I record with Grady Saxman over at Saxman Studios. He's the man. Grady's been awesome. I got hooked up with him through Davis and my boy Wales, Tony.
Okay.
They know him pretty well. He's, you know, a sponsor on the Raise Rowdy and everything.
Yep.
Grady's awesome. I mean, he's also very incredibly musically talented. And he's so good with working with the artists and, you know, every piece by piece, you know, building the song with you. You can tell he takes a lot of pride in that.
Yeah. Is it, as an artist and as it being your song, is that hard to kind of, you know, hand the controls over it all ever? Or like, do you tend to work pretty good and vice versa with each other in the studio?
Yeah, well, I think what's something that's great about Grady is he's constantly checking in with you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you got your microphone when they're tracking, you got your microphone there. If you have notes, no one in there is going to get offended or anything with any notes you have. I mean, you know, because that's, you know, a producer, obviously they want to put out the best product, but it's also your song too.
Yeah.
You know, and what you have, if you have a vision for it. And then also as the artist too, I think it's important when you have someone as talented as Grady too, to kind of hear him out.
Yeah.
And like his crazy talented musicians that they have in the studio, hear them out, see what they want to do too, and then kind of just gel like that. And I think in the studio, we have a good thing going.
That's awesome. Have you ever heard of, I assume you know who Rick Rubin is?
Yeah.
This is completely random, but I just heard today that like, apparently like he doesn't have any musical experience. Like he doesn't play an instrument or anything like that.
That's crazy.
Like, and he's regarded as like one of the best, you know, producers of all time, which, I mean, if you look at his catalog, I mean, fuck, man, like he's played, he's done shit with everybody.
Dude, if you got it, you got it. You know?
I guess if you have an ear for it, man, like, that's, I guess. It. And it's like, and that's like the crazy thing. Producers and people like that, like behind the scenes, are like a mystery to me, man. I don't know how they do it. It's just as much as an artist is. It's like,
yeah, no, it is for sure.
Like, because it says something where you got a producer like Grady or like Taylor Kimball, who's done like pretty much everyone in Texas by now.
Right.
Like, it's saying something, I think, when they just churn out all these bangers and hits and everything.
Exactly. Dude, you know? Not to mention the computer work.
Yeah, like, I mean, we couldn't even figure this damn echo thing out.
Dude, I can't figure it out. Yeah, I don't know how they do it. They're moving that shit up and down so quick. I can't even register what's going on.
Do you play with your live band in the studio too, or was there a different studio band? Like, what's your experience with that?
No, yeah. So Grady's got his studio guys that he works with.
Okay.
I mean, one day that is something that I would really like to do. Mm-hmm. And the guys in my band, they play for other people too.
Yeah.
But that is something, we were actually just talking about that in the van. That is something that I would love to do, is get together with the band and build the song. Because when I met them, I had never released the song.
Yeah.
So we played our first live show. I'd never released a song before. And all I had were work tapes. I had no demos. Mm-hmm. So we built like 8 of my songs together, and it was so fun. I loved it. So that is definitely something down the line that I really want to do.
Right. So let's talk a bit about the community in Nashville, because just hearing you talk about all these guys that you've gotten close with, and musicians or not, and I feel like I have kind of like an outsider view of it, because obviously I'm not down there all the time. How would you describe the community down there? Like, is it really like a lot of people say it's like a small big town, or a small town in a big town kind of feel? Like, how Absolutely. Would you describe it?
Absolutely. Absolutely a small big town. You know, word gets around, people talk for sure, but everyone I've met, I mean, has been, you know, ultra helpful, ultra nice. You know, before you move here, you hear Nashville, you know, everyone's trying to sing, everyone's trying to do the same thing. You don't know what you're kind of getting into. You don't know if it's going to be a hostile environment. You hear mm-hmm. about like LA bullshit,
yeah.
like, you know, people like run you under the bus or whatever. And it's not like that here at all. Everyone's okay. down to help. I mean, when I first moved here, there were guys like Brian Fuller, for instance, who's a great songwriter. And I just moved here. I never wrote a song with anybody before. He's like, dude, let's write a song together. Help wow. me out. You know, and just, yeah, I mean, everyone's so helpful. Matt Baruch and Nikki T, those guys, you know, it's like, hey, yep. I've never played around before. They're like, fuck it. Let's get you on around.
Yeah.
You know, it's everyone wants to help.
Yeah.
Which is, I didn't know if I was expecting that or not, but.
Yeah. I mean, that was definitely the biggest shock to me when I went there for the first time, just to kind of like, it was at one of the events that we were hosting, and like all those artists packed in the one room. I was just like, man, I wonder if there's going to be like an ego thing going on. I didn't really know what to expect, but no, everyone's buying drinks for each other, cheering at the front yeah. of the stage. It's like, this is like refreshing to know that it was like that. Cause I've always heard like the stigma about Nashville, because I know a lot of Texas guys, and you know, there's yeah, that yeah. little rivalry bullshit that tends to go on sometimes, and I didn't know yeah. what to expect, and it was very nice to see how well everyone treats each other.
Yeah, it seems the lines of the Texas Nashville thing are kind of getting more blurred as time goes on.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's a relief to see.
Yeah, definitely, because I mean, I love all the music coming out of Texas. I always mm-hmm. have. And I also love the shit that comes out of Nashville too. I mean, being from Florida, North Carolina kind of adjacent, that I got to see both unbiasedly. So to yeah. see them both coming together now is cool.
Yeah. And like also like the Kentucky guys and like everywhere, oh, yeah. like Georgia, Alabama, like it's cool to see those lines get blurred, because then you get cooler music come out of it, because more people want to work with each other and create exactly. some new shit, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, everybody's journey is different too in mm-hmm. Nashville. You know, I mean, I've heard people get jaded with certain things here and there, but you know, everybody's journey is different, you know, like
yeah.
someone might sign something here or get an opportunity here, but you know, all you can do is just be happy for them and do your own thing. You just want it to inspire you to make more and do the best you can.
Yeah, man. So is there anyone off the top of your head that you really would like to work with in the future?
Oh, man. Bunch of people.
That's a very open-ended question, I know.
Yeah, bunch of people. I mean, a guy musically that I do really look up to is Coe Wetzel. I love Coe Wetzel. Mm-hmm. Giovanni, Hired Guns.
Yeah.
Those guys are all awesome. You know, Kimball guys, like mm-hmm. you're saying. Also, I mean, I love bands, a lot of indie rock bands, like Rainbow Kitten Surprise.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love nice. Them.
I always said if I ever get to do a CMT Crossroads one day, I want to do it with Rainbow Kitten.
Wow, I would expect that. That's awesome, man. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, really, I kind of want to make like some weird shit.
Yeah.
So blending different kinds of things, like a rainbow kitten with like a person like me or Co or, you know, whatever, I think would just be really cool.
If there was another genre, and obviously genres don't matter anymore, which is a good thing, but yeah. If there was any other genre that you'd want to dive into for like an album or like a concept album or something, what would it be?
Oh, man. Get me thinking over here. Dude, I mean, I know people say this, but I really love all music. Mm-hmm. I mean, everyone kind of says like, you know, screamo is really not my thing. I love screamo. I love rap music. I love everything from, you know, Keith Whitley, George Strait to Young Dolph.
Yeah.
Code, Rolling Stones to Rainbow Kitten. Damn, what was the question again?
Just like, if there was like another genre that you would want to dive into for like one album or something, what would it be?
I think I would love to do a real classic country album.
Okay. Like Charlie Crockett kind of like Western sound and deal, or?
Yeah, maybe some of that, but more like a Keith Whitley style. Mm-hmm. You know, like I grew up big time on the Highwaymen, you know, my dad loved all the Highwaymen, you know, Johnny Waylon and Willie and Kris Kristofferson, mm-hmm. all of them. So I grew up like that, but, so I have that country love,
yeah,
you know, in me. And then from my mom's side, I really got more of the rock, and my dad liked the rock too. Southern rock with Skynyrd and everybody. But yeah, a country album would be sick. I would love to do that.
Hell yeah, man. That's awesome.
Or a reggae album. That'd be badass.
There you go. Or do like some like Sublime kind of shit, like, or ska or something.
Yeah. Have you heard of a Stick Figure?
What are they?
Stick Figure.
Stick Figure. What do they sing? Because they definitely popped up on my phone.
They got like a Fire on the Horizon. They do a lot of collabs with a lot of reggae guys too. Okay. They're one of my favorite reggae bands.
Okay. I'll have to dive into them, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, dude. I'll send you a playlist.
Oh, please do. I would love to. I would love to hear
a good vibes playlist.
Oh, yeah. Nice. I need some of those over here. But, well, let's talk about what you got coming down the pipe, man. Any new music? What do we got to look forward to?
Yeah, dude. I got some more singles coming out. We don't have any dates yet, but I got a couple songs. One's ready to go. It's recorded. It's mastered. It's ready to go. Just trying to figure out how to get it out there, best way to get it out there. Couple more kind of deciding on whether we want to do an EP or just keep releasing singles for now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I got a handful more dates on this Old 60 tour. So if you want to get a preview of those, I'm playing them there.
Nice. That the whole marketing thing, or I guess just, well, first off, the single, EP, album thing nowadays, it seems like that's a constant battle for artists who like would love to put an album out, but like the singles get more traction, kind of like that. Is that something you're always kind of battling with, deciding on what to do?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, as great as it sounds to just release an album or release an EP, it is kind of better to just do the singles at a time, especially mm-hmm. when people, just to get your name out there, you know, and, yep. and spread out your marketing.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, if you have a good song, it's a good song, and a good song will free up to do kind of whatever you want.
Yeah. And along with like the marketing stuff and like getting word around, it seems like you're doing like, you're pretty quality with your clips and everything on like Instagram. It looks like you're doing all right with that. Is that something that was hard to get used to? Like, do you do the TikToks, all that you need to just, it's kind of like a thing you need to do nowadays.
Yeah. It's definitely something you need to do. I mean, I would love if it didn't exist, but yeah, I mean, I have a great group of guys around me. Super talented videographers that just happen to be some of my best friends too. Mm-hmm. They always got a camera out. It's uncomfortable kind of getting used to the camera being in your face. That was it's a weird thing. I'm not sure I'm quite used to it yet. And then posting it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's probably the worst part, is clicking that publish or post button.
I know. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, you got to do it. You got to do it. And it's a way for people to hear you that wouldn't otherwise hear you. I mean, as much as, you know, I'd love to talk shit about TikTok, social media, but you can't really, because it's given music so much, you know, guys and girls that you would never have heard of, giving people a platform to show music. And we've gotten so many good artists out of it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's a good thing. And it's I hate to say, I don't want to sound like that old man, like waving his fist, but it's like, you got to have, like, you have the great artists that come out of it. And then, like, I feel like it also is, it could damage, like, an artist, like if they go viral, like super viral or something, it kind of like throws them to the wolves, kind of. Is that true? Like, just right into the public eye, like that?
Yeah, I've thought about it. I mean, it'd be tough if you were just playing in your room by yourself and then you get millions of views. And then, yeah, it's like next week you're playing Faster Horses in front of Zach Bryan. Like, oh, fuck. I hope I can do good. Never played with a band before.
Right, yeah,
but
man.
Some people rise to the occasion, you know, like Bailey Zimmerman really rose to the occasion. He's fucking killing it.
Yeah, man. I'm loving what the country music and the Nashville scene really right now is. I feel like I've been trying to get more in tune with what's all going on out there, especially because, like, fucking Rage Rowdy's based out of it, and I found myself clueless to what's even going on out of it. Because I was all focused on the Red Dirt, Texas.
They got so much fucking going on. I'm like,
yeah, I know.
I asked Burrell to come to a show, and he whipped out his calendar. I had a fucking brain aneurysm looking at his calendar. It was all the different colors.
It's insane. So they went to like 9 festivals this year.
Dude,
it's
the
like,
hardest working guys in Nashville are those two right there.
It's insane, man. But yeah, it's. I love getting to know it and getting to know guys like you, gals like you, who are really pushing the scene out there, man, putting out really good music. And I appreciate you hopping on, Rob. I really do. It was a good conversation. Of course, man. And I know you said you want to throw out a few dates. I know you said you're on with Old 60 and everything, just so people might – some upcoming dates people might want to catch you at.
Yeah, let me pull these up. I don't have them off the top of my head.
I need to start doing what Burrell does, and he just pulls his phone out on these podcasts and just reads them off himself.
Yeah. So the next ones I got at the end of the month. I'm going to be in Fayetteville, Arkansas on the 22nd, Manhattan, Kansas, 23rd, Wapapello, Missouri, 24th. And then in October, got Wilmington, North Carolina, October 19th. That's with Fox and Veed, who's badass in Old 60.
Oh, yeah.
Then headed to Sanford, Florida. That's my first show, actually, in Florida ever.
Oh, wow.
Really? That'll be cool. That's the 24th. Then going to Statesboro, Georgia, 25th, and Milledgeville, Georgia, on the 26th.
Right on.
October. Hey,
awesome. Are you going to be playing that round in September at Losers?
The Rays Rowdy, September 11th.
Yeah, I should probably actually promote that because they let me put together a round, and Rob's on it, and we got a lot of other guys. Tristan Tritt's going to be on it. Austin Upchurch from out in Texas. Grayson Russell, which who you might know around town, Grayson Russell.
No, I haven't met him.
Okay, well, he's going to be there. Reed Barton. We're going to get some more guys too, so that's going to be a fun one too.
Dude, I'm pumped for it. I love doing those loser shows.
Yeah, full band too, so it's going to be rocking.
Hell yeah, get it loud as fuck in there.
Dude, we need to. But all right, Rob Langdon, thank you for popping on, and thanks everyone for listening. Do you have any socials you want to throw out? People can follow
you can find me at Rob Langdon Music on Instagram and TikTok. That's all I got.
Hell yeah.
And,
awesome. Elon bought it now. Also everyone follow Rage Rowdy, Rowdy Alternative. Google us, we're on everything, all the socials, all that fun stuff. So everyone, thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.
bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. You've been turning me on all night, so why don't you and I run and tell your friends who's gonna take you home tonight? Try to make a mess of this self-force now.